And now we'll turn to our daily legislative recap with Marianne Martindale, executive director of the nonprofit Good Government Group Alliance for a Better Utah. Marianne, you've been up on the Hill today, again, as you always are. I know that you were looking, for example, at a child sex abuse education bill this morning.
Yeah, that was first up, 7:30 in the morning, which is really early to get to the Hill.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we sat there for about an hour and a half. The committee was late, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. So HB 286, it's called Child Sex Abuse Education. This is by Angela Romero, passed out of the committee unanimously. It's a great bill. This is going to provide a program that would educate children and educators about safety, inappropriate behavior, appropriate behavior, who to go to if something happens that you're uncomfortable with. Really good presentation on this and the value of it. Elizabeth Smart and her father, Ed Smart, both spoke in committee in favor of this. Mm. Very passionate speeches, as you can imagine. Elizabeth was very eloquent and, you know, restated a lot of the things that I know we've all heard, but just how difficult it was. But one of the points that she and her father both made is that she was completely unprepared for what to do in this setting. Could she have done something when he first came into her room? Should she have screamed? You know, all these different things that you don't. They'd never even discussed the possibility of this. They'd never discussed what was okay and what was not okay. And then also the feelings that she was left after it happened, that this somehow she had caused this, that this was her fault. And so this education program is to teach kids that, you know, it's not them. It's the perpetrator. And maybe some ways to avoid behaviors or some of the early behaviors that can happen in settings to hopefully keep this from happening.
But it's also about them being able to identify what constitutes sex abuse, for example.
Right. If you're uncomfortable with something, what does that mean? And what should you do? You know, who should you talk to? And these are some of the adults that you can trust with that kind of information. And just giving them a sort of a safety net and the right words and how to articulate what it is that they're uncomfortable about. So it's still got a long ways to go. I mean, but it passed unanimously out of this committee, and you know, hopefully it'll do the same thing the entire way. But it's a good step. This is going to be an important bill to help kids, I think.
And you're not foreseeing any opposition to it, or was there any opposition to it today?
You know, there was mild opposition. There were a couple people who spoke against it, mostly in terms of, you know, the parents' rights. One woman was worried about them, you know, talking about inappropriate things maybe in front of her children. Hmm. But the key point for people to understand about this bill is there's an opt out. Just like there was 2 years ago in the sex ed bill, we already have an abstinence only sex ed, but you can opt out of that as a parent. You can opt out of this if you don't feel that this is something you want your children to learn. Opt out. They send home a thing. You have to sign it before the child has this education. So you almost have the option to do that.
The parental option. In completely different news here, there's been some recent developments on the Medicaid expansion front. Governor Gary Herbert this morning reiterated in his monthly news conference that he is siding with doing something, that doing nothing is not on the table, that he's going to accept some form of Medicaid expansion, essentially. Kind of challenging Speaker Lockhart there.
Right, because Speaker Lockhart, of course, just before that, yesterday, essentially, in her press conference, said they came out and presented this new sort of a plan. I mean, we still have yet to see the bill that supposedly goes with this and to really understand what the plan is. But it's a very, very truncated state-based plan. It would cost something like $30, $35 million of state money, totally ignoring the federal money, leaving that on the table, even though that's taxpayer money that's already allocated, turning their back on any federal option, creating our own thing. But it would serve a much, much smaller percentage of those people who fall into this Medicaid gap. For example, I think that the number they were quoting was maybe as high as 50,000 at the most. We know there's 123,000 Utahns that need insurance and would get it through the full expansion. Mm. So it's a little tiny scratch on the surface. It's trying to create some sort of state-based model. It's a political statement, and it's unfortunate because, I mean, that's really not a Utah value.
You know, it's interesting. Governor Herbert this morning called it illogical to not accept the money that Utahns have been paying into the system.
Right, we don't get a rebate for that money. If we don't do Medicaid expansion and take those up to $500 million of federal money to do this over the course of the next several years, we don't get that money back. That's allocated money. That's coming from the taxes already. Medicaid expansion isn't going away. Obamacare isn't going away. I mean, they keep sort of hoping that that's going to be, well, if we dig our heels in the sand, this is somehow going to change. But all the money that we've paid into this, the federal government is not going to write us a check and say, here, do your own thing. That's just not the way this works. So we're turning our back on money that's our money. Hmm. We're letting that go to other states who have decided to expand, Arizona, for example. And instead, we're willing to also spend additional funds to create our own whatever this sort of, I would not even call it a hybridized model. I mean, it's really just a very small extreme care and very, very low, below the poverty level group that this is going to help.
But Speaker Lockhart's argument is that it is a Utah model and therefore inherently we have more control over it.
Right. And it was interesting. She also said that This is not a political statement, which I think is disingenuous considering what, you know, we're pretty sure that her aspirations are to run against Governor Herbert in a couple of years. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not humane and it's not compassionate. And ultimately, that's not a Utah value.
Well, I think we're going to have to leave it at that today, Marianne. Thanks once again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Marianne Martindale, Executive Director of the nonprofit Good Government Group Alliance for a Better Utah. She joins us daily during the legislative session for our Better Utah Legislative Recap.